Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I'm excited to introduce to you today Amanda Relier-Voss. She is the owner and CEO of Like a Voss Social Media. Amanda brings a high level of proficiency to the world of marketing and advertising, specifically to social media. She has managed hundreds of social media accounts for both startup companies and established brands. She has an advanced diploma in integrated marketing communications, as well as a diploma in advertising. On and offline, she is a creative, and she brings that creativity to providing social media strategies for her clients. So thank you for being on the show and welcome, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I am so excited to bring our conversation. We recently had met and she's a bundle of energy. She's got so many creative ideas about how to bring out her clients' stories, helping them with their social media strategies when they should really be focusing on the business. But then she enables them to bring their message out to increase their business. So I'm excited to have this conversation. We also have so many things in common. We played the clarinet. We both love cooking. We're crafty kind of people and absolutely love music and just movement. So I would love to just get into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So you've got a really interesting and amazing career. I'd love for you to share with the listeners a little bit about your business journey. And how have you arrived at the work that you're doing now that really impacts your clients?
Sure. So I will try to keep it short. It is quite a long journey, but I did go to school for marketing, as you mentioned. And right out of school, I got a job at a local credit union. Now, they hired me based on the fact that I had marketing training, and I was under the impression that I would be doing marketing work for them. However, quite quickly, I realized that I was a teller, and that's what I was. I was working 45 to 50 hours a week, earning quote unquote part-time salary with no benefits. And after about a year, I was a model employee the entire year. And I think that my subconscious was kind of trying to push me away so that I would not get comfortable in that position. And I showed up late a few times in a row and I got fired. So there you go. That was my exit from that job. And after that, I linked up to a local business, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was called Kingston Kiosk. And this is back when online directory listings were just getting started. So they ran a website and we would go around to Kingston businesses, Kingston, Ontario, by the way, that's where I am, and sell online directory listings. So I did that for a few months. At the time, I was also running a section of the business, which was their events and promotion section. So what that was, social media pages titled Kingston Events, and we were trying to raise awareness for local events, just to, you know, increase attendance, et cetera, et cetera. So I was doing that and doing directory listing sales. The company was under the umbrella of Canadian Kiosk, and then Kingston was one of them, and Ottawa was the biggest hub at that time. So the guy that was managing me actually got promoted to CEO, and he went off to Ottawa. And then the woman who was doing the events and promotions job in Ottawa went off to pursue further education. So they actually promoted me. And this was a few months in and I was really young and I was excited. So I ended up moving from Kingston to Ottawa and I started that job. Now, I went in thinking that it would be similar to what I was doing in Kingston, but pretty quickly I found out that I was sales and events and greeter and coffee fetcher for in business meetings and, you know, like the girl at the front desk that does a whole lot of things. However, what I did notice was that at that company, they were sitting on a huge, huge, huge audience and like 30,000 email subscribers. And like, this is like 7-8 years ago. So this is a lot, like 25,000, 30,000 on Facebook, the same number on Twitter. And they were reaching out to local events and giving away these promotions for free. And I went to the CEO and I said, okay, so you're, you know, paying me a salary to go out and find events to promote on our channels. Are you okay if I create a revenue stream for you through this? And they said, yeah. So I put together all these packages and I sold over $100,000 for them in a year from a position that was previously making no money at all. And I just reached out and I said, hey, our audience number is X amount. We will give you, you know, 4 tweets, 2 Facebook posts and a newsletter banner for this much. What do you think? They're like, yeah, check, check, check. I got some comp tickets out of it. So I was hitting all the cool events in Ottawa. It was an amazing job for someone up and coming. Through doing that, I was the one that was writing the content for social media. So I was running the channels, writing the content, and then doing the engagement with the people that were talking to those profiles. So if I did a contest announcement, I responded. If they had a question about the event that they tweeted or sent a Facebook message, I responded. And through that, a lot of the businesses that I was working with promoting their events said, oh my gosh, you're really good at this. Have you ever thought about doing this on the side? I'm like, no, what do you mean? They're like, oh, well, we need some help running our social media channels. What do you think? Do you think you could help us out and, you know, do this for us in addition to what you're doing? I thought, okay, cool. So one day I'm sitting at my computer and it was like kind of a slow afternoon and I pulled up Wix and it's still kicking. This is again, really, really long time ago. And I made a little website and I wrote like a Voss social media. And my last name's Voss, as she said. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really clever, you know, like a boss, like a Voss, ha, ha, ha. And I did up this little logo. Back then it was like a bow tie, or not a bow tie, a man's tie in a square. And I'm not the girliest girl in the world, so I thought it was really neat. Slapped it up on a website, bought the URL, and was like, okay, I'm doing this. So then I approached the CEO, and because I'm an above board human being, I said, okay, I've been asked by a few of our event promotion clients to do social strategy for them. What do you think? And he said, no, it's a conflict of interest. You've signed a non-compete. However, we weren't selling social media strategy. We were selling social media promotion. So we're selling you one post promoting your event. We're not trying to put a strategy together to run your social accounts to the best of their ability. So I said, okay, fine. Thanks for the opportunity. I quit. And I didn't really have any time for, you know, reaching out to friends and family and saying that I'm going to go into business for myself. I kind of just did it. And I had a few clients right off the bat, but this was, again, several years ago and social media was like picking up a little bit and I didn't realize the value of what I was doing. So I wasn't charging enough money. So I actually moved to Pembroke, which was close to Ottawa, where my boyfriend was living there. He's in the military. And I started selling cars at Honda. So I was running a business on the side and I was a car saleswoman, which worked because I had been doing sales the whole time and I was good at it. And then it wasn't until I met Leanna Ling, which was my first major client, that I actually quit the car dealership and I was doing the business full time. And that was about 6 months after leaving my job at Canadian Kiosk. So here we are. I am early 20s. I'm living in Petawawa, which is a military town. There's nothing there. I've set up an office in a spare room. I've got one big client and a couple small ones. And I'm just going for it. And it's kind of just evolved from there. I'm in my 7th year. I've got 3 staff members, mostly in Canada, 1 in the States. And, you know, we have clients in the US, Canada. I've done one in Australia. I did one in Dubai for a bit. Let's not talk about that. But yeah, so we are an organic social media management and content creation company, focusing on authenticity and organic growth rather than buying likes.
This is, for me, exhilarating because what you have done in what I would say a short amount of time is something that I very much envy. And I, having had the corporate career for over 20 years, am just now doing exactly what you're doing in the first part of your career. What I'm hearing is that obviously you always saw an opportunity, or if an opportunity presented itself, you just went with it. I see a tremendous amount of courage in just saying, okay, I'm going to just keep going. I'm going to keep going. Life is showing up for me. I'm going to take advantage of it. And what I feel, and again, this is just me as I think about your business and who you are and as you show up for your clients, you're just like open for every opportunity. The energy certainly I can see come through for whoever you work for. It is a great place to be. Courage, it's inspiring. And it's something for people to think about as you're muddling through. Maybe take a different approach, a different mindset, and just kind of take what life throws at you, because you never know what's going to happen. So thank you for your story. It's amazing.
Thanks.
So, you know, on your website, you talk about freeing up time for you to spend more time doing what you do best. So when you think about some of your clients and your mission, you want them to spend time doing what they do best. What does that mean? And how do you help your clients do exactly that?
I love that question. So this is an interesting, I'd use this example a lot because one of my secret desires is to own a bakery. We'll see, maybe in 10 years. So you are an amazing baker. You bake at home and you have this dream to open a bakery, and you've got your money together and you find your location and you open your bakery and you're having fun in the kitchen, baking your cookies and your breads and whatever you are baking. And then you realize that I love to bake, but I have to market my business and I have to be on social media and oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. So then you start spending time learning how to do this or fuddling your way through it and floundering and wondering if you're doing it correctly. And, you know, something that would probably take me a few moments might take you a few hours. So by freeing up time, I'm just saying, let us take it off your plate so that you can focus on what you love doing and the reason that you opened your business. So if you're a baker, so that you can get back to the kitchen and keep on baking.
If I think about my purpose, obviously I'm in business so that I have financial peace of mind doing purposeful work. But at the same time, I need help so I can do the things I love. So I'm grateful for podcasting. I am grateful for the production company that helped me bring great conversations like this to my listeners, because the technology and all of that is just my thing. I love having conversations. I want to hire somebody so I can have more of these conversations. So I love your mission, freeing up time so people can do what they do best. So I'd love to just change this up a little bit when we think about a lot of the work I do. You know, I drop into organizations because they're at a point where they realize they need somebody with my skills. And for you, I'd love to hear a story where maybe you've dropped into a situation with a client that is going through change and really needs your help so they can do the work they're supposed to do. You know, what is that story and how have you helped them through that transformation?
Well, you know what? I was going to share a story, but I decided to shift and I did touch on it in going through my journey. But in regards to me as a person going into an organization and making a big shift, I do have to go back to what I was able to do for Canadian Kiosk. Although social media was one part of the job, this is a company that had been around for a while that was doing really well. But, you know, a fresh set of eyes and some young talent comes in and creates a revenue stream that was not there before and makes the company over $100,000 within 1 year. And to think about, you know, they were paying me very little, like something that I would not accept now, very, very little. I made them five times what they were paying me by just doing one very simple thing and adding a revenue stream to the business model that was not there before. And like, they were around for several years before I came on, giving away something for free. And just by charging a little tiny bit of money, I was able to create all of that income from them. And we ended up signing like very large sponsorships as well with local sports teams. I would say that like that is probably the largest thing I've done. On a social media side, I'm not going to use any specific examples, but I would say if you're of a certain level and you have publicity surrounding yourself, sometimes what business celebrities or even celebrities don't realize is that the way that you're acting online is a direct reflection on your business and what you're trying to sell. So if you are a high level coach and you are online, okay, let's just say behaving poorly, and we'll just leave it at that. You need to make sure that your social media messaging and what you're sharing online is in line with your company mission, and that you're not, you know, damaging your brand by what you're saying online. So sometimes there's a personality that goes in line with a company. So the personal branding has to be on point in relation to the company that you're promoting. So for me, I like we market as fun, and I've got young employees, so I'm trying to go young these days. Authentic, real. So if you look at the way that I behave on my personal social media profiles, you'll see that they are very much in alignment. If you don't like real, you probably won't like what I post. That's totally fine. But that also helps me connect with the right kind of clientele, because they see something in me that they like and that I can connect with them on a level, because, you know, we're both real and we know that we have that, you know, previous connection, rather than trying to, you know, put off an image that is not sincere and then working for someone that you just don't click with. And that's really hard. And I've had those clients before too.
Yeah, I really love that story. And you bring up an important point. So, you know, shifting a little bit from dropping into an organization and how you've made a significant impact. I do the same. I drop into an organization. Yes, I solve the specific problem. But to your point, you provided so much more value than what they originally intended. And I do exactly the same thing, and gives them peace of mind. But you shifted gears a little here. And I love what you say is that presence. And I will say that in my career, I've had some coaching saying your presence and how you show up is very critical, so much more important than simply the work, the transaction that you do. So you really bring up a great message, I would say, even for up and coming professionals or even a business leader. What does your presence represent? Are you consistent? Do you agree with your presence, or do you want to change your presence? Presence is very equivalent to brand, and brand transcends many different things. So I love what you do about coaching people to change their behavior or how they show up. Now, have you had anybody that was been resisting your feedback, or how did you convince them that they need to modify it so that they elevate their brand? I'd love to know more.
I did have one that was very resistant, and it wasn't so much about how he was showing up. It was that he wasn't at all. This was a smaller local business, and we were hired to do social media, and he just could not comprehend why the growth was slow. And I said, well, it's because no one knows who you are. You have named your company that with your name. And if someone wants to learn who you are, there's nothing about you online. You never show your face in social media. You don't let us post photos of you. Your messaging is sell, 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 which is contrary to every social media strategy out there. You don't just try to sell. You provide value and create community before you sell. And he actually never came around. We worked together for 2 years, and he left as a client a few months ago. And I thought he was going to leave like a year ago, but he stayed on, and we tried and we tried and we tried. And you can see even still on his profile, there's some videos of me teaching him how to go live, or, you know, posting a photo of him, or trying to get him to do like an Instagram story. Because if you're branding your company as yourself and you're in the shadows, like, you know, if your company is, like my friend's company, Bree Fraser Designs, and we never see a picture of Bree or hear any story about Bree, how do we connect with you on any kind of level and then trust to, you know, use your services or buy from you in any way?
So I love all these insights that you share, because as I'm developing my own online course to help young professionals or professionals that have gotten to a point and just don't understand what are those critical things and how they show up in the world, because it affects people's interactions, it affects how they perceive you, it affects how you show up when you do a transaction. So would love to take this in another direction. I hope you're not getting dizzy by me going back and forth a little bit. You know, you do write an awful lot on your website. You've got so much great content out there, and you've got a series called the Voss Babes Entrepreneurial Blog Series. And I would love to know, I saw so many articles there, but what is the hardest thing that you have seen in general for young female and men professionals to overcome in their journey? I'd love to know what you see.
Well, this particular blog series started, I think we're on tomorrow. So they release on Wednesdays. Tomorrow is number 24. So 24 weeks. It's still kind of new. And it started, you know, kind of piggybacking on Woman Crush Wednesdays. And it's always females that we feature. And we kind of wanted to connect with local. So we started in Kingston. We've done a few people outside of Kingston. I've got quite a list, like going out to like the end of the year, people that want to go on it. We want to understand, you know, how they started their business, some challenges they faced when they started their business, and then how social media has helped. Because, you know, if you're following the series and you see 24 women and all 24 say, oh, well, social media helped me do this. It's, you know, it ties into like, see, like what we're doing is providing value. The number one challenge, especially for small local businesses, has definitely been getting out there and being seen. And in each interview, we ask, you know, what's your favorite social network and has it helped you? And 100% of the time they say, yes, I know I was struggling to get noticed. And then I opened an Instagram account, or, you know, I really learned how to use hashtags. And then my post went from like 5 likes to 500. So it's definitely always around exposure and being found and being seen.
Do you find that they're hesitant to take that first step?
Yeah, I think that some of these women started their business on social media. Like, they had an idea and they were creating, but they didn't have a website and they weren't actively selling. And then they made a social account and then got all this attention and thought, oh, wow, I can do this for a living. And then that's what, you know, encouraged them to start the business. Some of the women that I've interviewed actually only have an Instagram account. One of them actually created her website just because of this feature, because she was finally ready to, you know, put her artwork on a website, and she'd just been selling privately up until now. So it's really interesting to interact with them. And like, some of them are even like, oh my gosh, I redid my company bio just because of this. And it was really amazing to see how far I've come, or this made me really value myself. So it's definitely been really, really fun getting to know these women. And like, a lot of them I know, but I'm getting to a point now where I'm reaching out to people I don't know. So it's even more exciting for me because I get to hear stories that like I previously didn't already know.
You know, what I take away from this is that if you're in your own business, or you're just in a position or a role where you feel a little bit stuck, simply taking the step to engage with somebody outside your circle, somebody that's talented in a particular different area, they can provide you feedback, give you thoughts that you never thought about. So often when we struggle, we just stay in our own little world and you keep thinking the same thoughts and doing the same thing. But, you know, through your blog or your interactions with these young professionals or up and coming entrepreneurs, just talking through things and the possibility can break you out of whatever challenge or barrier that you have. And also, it does build confidence. And I do see male, female alike, I don't care where you are in your career, something makes you feel stuck. And so often it's that confidence, and it's not anything that people did to you. It's often how you manage how you feel about yourself and just taking that first step. So I love these blogs. I was reading through them. They're absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm going to add you to the list and you'll be on it at some point.
Would love that. Would love that. So listen, you have gone, you know, you're ambitious. I mean, you just say, hey, I'm going to go from this opportunity to that opportunity, roll with the punches. But if you had to share any insights with up and coming professionals, entrepreneurs, or even people that have just been in business for a while, what's some lessons or insights you have gained that have helped you move forward in what you do?
Okay, this is a great one. I have one very important one that is very close to my heart. So do not be afraid to break the mold. Just because this is how it's been done does not mean that it's right. And when you're working with 65 plus year old male CEOs of tech companies, and this is how we've always done it and this works, I'm like, okay, but why don't you try something new and see how good that could work? And it works amazing. And you need to bring that into everything. So, you know, from Canadian Kiosk, not selling a product and now I'm selling a product and making money, or going into a marketing strategy and this is how we've always done it. Okay, well, cool. You're hiring me to bring new ideas. Here's my new idea. Oh my God, this idea did really, really well for you. Or you know what? It didn't work. Let's shift it to something else. So do not be afraid to break the mold.
Let me respond to that, because I absolutely love that. I'm going to just talk about myself a little bit because it's my podcast. I can.
Okay.
You know, engineering background, female professional. I landed finally in the flavors and fragrance and ingredient industry. Head of quality, head of operational excellence, doing the thing. And then I had the opportunity to start my own business. Who would have thought I'm doing a podcast? Who would have thought I'm creating my own course for young professionals to help them move from manager to leadership? Who would have thought? I mean, there's nobody doing what I'm doing. I'm unique. I'm Deb Coviello. Yeah. I am the engineer. I've had these great career opportunities. Now I'm writing video podcasts. I'm now not afraid. And so I think a lot of people should take the first step. Just believe in yourself. Those crazy ideas are not crazy. Just do it. So kudos to you for your energy, and don't be afraid just to take that first step.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. So would love just to know a little bit more about just pivotal changes in who you are and what you do in business. Has there been anything along the way that's inspired you, influenced you, some piece of wisdom that somebody has shared with you that maybe helped change the direction of what you're doing?
That's another great question. I would say probably the first thing that I realized in my journey that was a huge change was my worth. Often you fall into the trap of charging a little bit just to get the experience and not realizing the value. So once that shifted in my business, I saw things take off. And part of that was free piece of advice, learning not to charge hourly for your services because you only have so many hours in the day to charge. You can't refine and automate and get any better at what you're doing if you're charging hourly. Another really, really huge milestone for me was my first employee. I was doing everything completely by myself. I thought that's how it needed to be done. I thought that I was the only one that could do it. I didn't trust anyone else. And then what happened was I got an intern actually from the same program that I graduated from. And within 6 weeks, she made herself indispensable and it was time for her to go. And I'm like, nope. I can't do this without you. I need you. So hiring her was a huge, huge thing. And now, you know, we have a team in place. The other one I'm going to go back to very, very, very young. And I'm going to send him this link when it's live is my music teacher from grade 9 to grade 11, which has nothing to do with business. But I look back to him quite often. I didn't have a great time in high school and he was probably my best friend. His advice, and obviously music related, as you probably, Deborah, can understand, is practice makes perfect. And I actually apply that to a lot of things in my life, whether it's cooking, baking, learning social media. The more you do it, the better at it you get. And I think that that kind of can be applied to almost anything in your life, even training your new puppy.
And that's another long story, but I'm glad finally that they've arrived in your life.
Yeah.
They've been behaving really well during this conversation. So kudos to him. So, you know, you just kind of ended on some really great thoughts. And again, I should be paying you. This is some of the stuff that I would love to put into, into my course that I'm going to be offering for young professionals. It's one of those things you said about don't underestimate your value. Don't think in terms of what you do in terms of an hourly rate, but just think about if somebody else had to do what you do, how long would it take them? So there's really great insight at that. You also talk about the entrepreneur, maybe the business leader who's trying to do it all their own, thinking they're a hero for working 50, 60 hours again a week. Nope. There's great leadership and insight when you finally realize that, you know, leverage the skills of others around you so you can do what you're really good at. Yep. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. And I really love the story about just going back in time and those people that have really influenced you, the love of music, creating, you know, you do that offline, but we should show more of ourselves up online and share the creativity and the gifts that we have, because that's really what people are looking for, is they want to connect with a person, not just a product or service. So great conversation. It's been a pleasure. Is there anything from this conversation, anything that we maybe didn't cover that you wanted to share with our listeners or about your business?
No, honestly, that covered everything. I said everything I wanted to say. Feeling good. Got a big smile on my face.
So this has been fantastic, energetic. I can't wait to air this episode. If people wanted to connect with you for your services, social media strategies, how best to connect with you?
So guess what? On social media. So Like a Voss is on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Like a Voss SM or Like a Voss Social Media. And then if you want to get to know me a little better, which is always fun, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and obviously LinkedIn. Mandy Relier Voss. Twitter is Mandy RV. And then LinkedIn is Amanda Relier Voss, because Amanda is my legal name, although I have not been called that since I was 10 years old.
All right. Fantastic conversation. I love the energy here. I know the listeners are going to enjoy this. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.